Well, closed meeting for consultation with a briefing by council. Council, is there any need that you know of?
Not to my knowledge.
Next item is Burrows Bay Improvement Association, number 061231. Mr. Stagg.
Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning, sir.
This is a commission review on appeal by the applicant of the August 21st, 2006 decision by the Ottawa County Wetlands Board to deny the applicant's request to construct a 5-foot by 300-foot open pile pier to include a 10-foot by 75-foot L-head, a parallel 5-foot by 50-foot dock landing section near an existing boat ramp, and 3 2-foot by 12-foot finger piers along that L-head to create 6 wet slips with lifts for use by members of the association at their property situated along the James River, basically Burrows Bay area of James River and Ottawa County. Staff would like to request a commission open the record for this project. Need to give you kind of a history of the upland ownership and a structure that was in the water at this location. And if I have some slides that were not shown at the hearing that will orient you better.
Is there a motion by the commission to open the record on case number 061231, Burrows Bay Improvement Association?
I have one question first, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, sir. Mr. Robbins.
Is this information going to be jurisdictional to the wetlands boards, to the wetland board in this decision?
I think it's germane to some of the rationale of why they made their decision.
Okay. I would move that we open the record, Mr. Chairman.
Second. Motion made by Mr. Robbins.
Second.
Second by Mr. Fox. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Go ahead, Mr. Stagg.
Okay. The proposed pier is located, in the Burrows Bay section of Ottawa County, basically at this location at the end of Route 621. A little closer view. You'll notice a number of structures in the topo map that depict primarily piers. However, this was actually a building at this location. There also were two smaller buildings at this location. Virtually everything along this reach except this one pier was destroyed in Isabel, or partially destroyed. This is what the Burrows Bay Improvement Association applied for. Basically, there is an existing concrete boat ramp here. What's highlighted in color is what they've applied for. This would be all new structure, basically the main pier, the little side platform, and then a small L head. This would be the slip area. Sorry, that's not colored all the way out, but it's 6 slips there. This is the footprint of the old structure, which I'll discuss in a little more detail in a moment. But basically, the association owns this piece of property right here, shown in this rectangle, and wish to place their pier here, adjacent to the ramp, with some slips for the association members. This is a historical photograph from 2002. This predates the hurricane. This is when everything was there. Basically, this is a pier on an adjoining piece of property, and you'll see this in the ground shots. That goes with this apartment building here. This is the boat ramp. The property line is between the boat ramp and this pier, so this pier really has nothing to do with this application. This is the existing structure that did exist and was tied to the upland parcel. These are separate structures off the parcel that are now been destroyed. There was a restaurant in this location and a pier, but that's all. All these buildings were destroyed in this general area except this apartment building during Hurricane Isabel. The upland, these up here remain, they're up on a higher elevation. The association submitted a joint permit application on May 25th, 2006, requesting authorization to construct a pier at this location for community use of the association members, as described earlier in the description I gave you. The association owns this parcel of land, which has had a number of names over the years. It's been called the public acre, the county acre, or just the acre. It previously was a public landing area at the end of a state road and was owned by the county of Isle of Wight. In 1959, the association obtained private ownership. It's somewhat unclear how that transpired, but it definitely transpired, and the association has owned that acre parcel since 1959. There do not appear to be any transfer of ownership of any offshore structures in 1959, and this building and pier that you see here did exist in a similar configuration at that time. Going back even further from 1959, in July 6th of 1925, Mr. Edwin Poole received from the Circuit Court of the county the right and privilege of erecting a wharf at the county landing at Burroughs Bay, on the condition, however, that the public shall have the right to use said wharf by the payment of the following charges, to wit, for packages, 10 cents for each 100 pounds or fractional part thereof, freight in tons lots at a rate of $1 for each ton, for excursions of passenger boats at a rate of 10 cents for each passenger or guest landed, and then with some additional language. So basically, the court authorized construction of a public wharf structure at this site. The upland was still owned by the county for basically operated privately but for public use, with certain specific uses spelled out in the court order. The wharf that was authorized was to begin 30 feet south of the northern property line and extend channelward 400 feet more or less with a 40-foot by 40-foot L-head, based upon a drawing that was submitted to the county when the request was made. It's unclear if this was what was actually constructed soon after that, but according to a history of the structures at this location provided by the Scott family, who basically eventually obtained ownership of this structure, everything that existed at the site was destroyed in the hurricane of 1933. A new building was constructed at this location in 1934, again by Mr. Poole, using some of the original pilings. Mr. Poole added an additional walkway, channelwood of the building, and bathhouses for both men and women. The structure built in 1934 apparently had dimensions of approximately 64 feet by 64 feet, which are the same dimensions as the roof structure you see in that photograph, and was approximately 125 feet channelwood of mean low water. This new building was well in excess of anything the court had ever authorized. Mr. Poole continued to conduct business here until his death in 1945. After his death, the structure was apparently rented for 2 years and then sold to Tommy Sadler. It was then resold to Ashton Young and then to Murray Wells. Dr. Darden then purchased the structures in the 1960s and rented it to a local resident, Nelson Moody. By this time, the bathhouses were gone and most of the offshore pier was gone, but the building remained. In the early 1980s, Mr. Darden sold the structures to Mr. John Reed, who placed the ownership into the name of LeBay Incorporated. It was used by Mr. Reed just as a storage space for some of his construction business. The Bracey and Scott families, the current owners of what's left of these buildings, obtained ownership in 1989, and they subsequently renovated the building for use as a family retreat. Throughout these transfers, it appears that only the structures themselves were conveyed. It does not appear that there were any riparian rights acquired when the structures were purchased by the Scotts and Bracey families. In 1995, the MRC received an application from the Scott and Bracey families requesting authorization to construct a 110-foot long by 7-foot wide non-riparian pier with a 40-foot by 30-foot T-head platform that would extend channelwood of the existing structures. So basically, a pier out with a T-head on the end here. Staff recommended denial of these structures as requested due to their size and lack of water dependency. The commission, however, did approve that application, and they were constructed. During Hurricane Isabel, the entire structure was destroyed, leaving only a remnant piling field, as you can see in this photograph. Again, this is the pier on the adjoining property. Here's the boat ramp. That's basically the footprint where the building was and the remnants of the offshore pier A lot of the inshore pilings are completely gone. The Scott family did apply to rebuild the structure, citing Governor Warner's executive orders 58 and 66 related to Hurricane Isabel. Staff wrote to Mr. Scott in August of 2004, indicating that VMRC did not believe the structures met the requirements of the executive orders. Mr. Scott was sent an additional letter on December 3rd of 2004, informing him that if he wished to pursue reconstruction of any structure at this location, the submission of a normal joint permit application would be required. To this date, we have not received any application from the Spacey or Scott family. The Burroughs Bay Improvement Association applied to the commission to repair and place their existing damaged boat ramp in 1996. A permit was issued for this work on June 27, 1996. Again, here's the boat ramp here, joining property pier. Property line is between this pier and the boat ramp. The current application, the subject of this appeal, seeking authorization to construct the pier and lifts described above, was received on May 25, 2006. The Allaway County Wetlands Board held a public hearing on the application on August 21st of this year. Mr. David Epperly, who was representing the association, explained the request to the board. There was some discussion during the public hearing concerning the existing pilings at the site and if they would present a problem for boaters if the pier was constructed as requested. Basically, what the applicants are proposing is a pier, a line along this side of the boat ramp going out in this direction. These are the remnant piles of the building. And it would go out beyond these and wrap around offshore of this pile. There's a few piles going out from the old pier beyond the building structure. The association, Mr. Epperly, indicated that he did not believe that there would be any problem with constructing their pier, even with the existing pilings. They would just go right down the edge of them and possibly even use a couple of these piles here. There was some additional discussion about why the pier could not be located at the other end of the property, in other words, down in this direction. There is more room to clear these pilings on the south end of the property. But Mr. Epperly indicated that the association did discuss that during some of their meetings, but that they really preferred to have it here. They could dual use it as a tending pier to the boat ramp, go out beyond the pilings for the slips, and that they did use the lower end of the beach here for swimming for association members where there wasn't any pilings. So they'd like to leave that area as a beach area for the association members. Mr. Forrest Scott spoke in opposition to the application and stated that the construction of the pier would interfere with their intent to rebuild the previously existing structures at this location. Mr. Scott was asked by the members of the Wetlands Board if they had any access through the acre upland parcel to the water. He indicated they did not. They only had an easement for a prior septic system actually on the association's upland property. But that, we believe, was damaged during the hurricane, possibly filled with sand. VMRC staff was then questioned about the status of the destroyed structures and was told that the applications received by the Scott family after Hurricane Isabel, as noted earlier, the Isabel request under the executive orders and the letter sent back to Mr. Scott indicating we did not believe they qualified as a previously authorized structure in light of the executive order. The county staff recommended denial of the project based mainly on the potential danger to boating related to the remnant pilings of the old pier and building. VMRC staff reminded the board that navigation issues related to this application and the remnant pilings would be addressed by the commission before any permit for the pier was issued, and that the primary focus of the Wetlands Board should be on any wetland impacts associated with this proposal. The public hearing was then closed by the Wetlands Board, and a motion and second were made to deny the project. No reason was given for the motion at the time, and there was no additional discussion. The board voted 3-0 to deny the application with one abstention. Therefore, the application was denied. The Virginia Institute of Marine Science shoreline report indicated that there would be minimal individual and cumulative adverse impacts if this pier was built. As you can see in the photograph, this shoreline is a sand beach. There is no vegetation, so the impacts would be the minimal impact crossing this intertidal area of sand beach, and then the majority of it is subaqueous impacts. And the only impact of wetlands would be shading, and there's no vegetation. The Virginia Department of Health, Environmental Health Office, has indicated that the project is acceptable as a community use pier, and no other agencies commented on the project. While the Ottawa County Wetlands Board clearly had some concerns about safety related to the proposed location of the pier, the applicant seemed to address this issue with the board. Additionally, the protestants, while having some potential ownership and legal liability for the remnant pilings at this location, have not been granted any authorization to reconstruct any of the structures that previously existed. In addition, they do not appear to have any riparian rights along this shoreline, so any reconstruction would clearly infringe upon the riparian property rights of the Pearl Bay Improvement Association. The Wetlands Board further did not give any real rationale for the decision to deny the project. As a result, staff is recommending the commission remand this matter back to the board for reconsideration with the direction that the board fully consider the wetland impacts and that any future decision on the proposal be accompanied by a concise rationale for their decision. I believe Mr. Eppley is here.
Thank you, Mr. Stagg. Any questions for staff by the commission? Is the appellant here, Mr. Eppley? I believe he is. So I'm really come forward, sir. Good morning. Pleasure to have you here.
Good morning.
Raise your right hand and be sworn. Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you would give would be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
State your name and who you represent, please.
David Eppley, and I represent the Burroughs Bay Improvement Association.
Good to have you here, sir.
Basically, what Mr. Stagg has showed y'all and told y'all everything on there is basically looking at the need of up here. What we want is to construct that pier there beside the ramp and for the use for our members only. We have been waiting to try to see what would happen after the hurricane, not trying to rush things to see what was going to happen with the Bracey Scott family there with rebuilding. Once that it was denied the one time and nothing seemed to be happening, we were ready to proceed on with our application to put up here there so we can have use of our property there. So basically, that's it.
Okay. I think there are a number of issues that have been brought up during the course of the overview by staff that really at this juncture need not be considered. I think the record that we have will allow us to move forward and make a decision without a lot of that. So if we have any further questions, we'll let you know.
Okay.
Is there anyone, have a seat, anyone from the Isle of Wight County Wetlands Board here that would like to be heard? I'm sorry, did anybody have any questions of Mr. Eppley while he was here? I'm sorry. Okay. The matter is before the commission for action. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It seems to me that listening to the staff's assessment of this, that they've got it right, that if you read through the record of the minutes of the Wetland Board meeting, their questioning was focused on issues that were really extra-jurisdictional, and it seems to me that a remand would be in order for consideration of the jurisdictional issues and requesting a rationale for their decision. And I would move that we remand the matter to the Wetlands Board.
Motion made by Mr. Robbins to remand. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Schick. I'd just like to make a comment if I could. Anybody else have any questions, comments, or anything? These Wetlands Boards serve a marvelous purpose in assisting us and then doing the work that we do. I think Isle of Wight that night had three or four cases. If you multiply three or four cases by 29 counties and 17 cities and subtract the three or four that don't have wetlands boards, then work for the fact that those citizens are out there doing this yeoman work and assisting us, we would really be bogged down. I think from time to time, this commission has had to receive guidance from council on the necessity to make sure that when we make motions and we make decisions, that the motions and the decisions are substantiated by the law that's before us. I agree with Mr. Robbins. As I read the record, the motion of record of the Wetlands Board, the motions were made, but there was not any substantiating language to go with that. And pursuant to Section 28.213.13 of the Code of Virginia, it says when the commission to modify, remand, reverse decision of Wetlands Board, item E is unsupported by the evidence on the record considered as a whole. I don't think we have any evidence here whatsoever that we can actually consider in coming to a decision as to whether the Wetlands Board was correct or incorrect. Having said that, and thanking all the Wetlands Boards that serve around the Commonwealth, the matter is before the commission. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Chair votes aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Ben. Looking for my agenda, quite honestly, with all these papers here.
I'll be happy to continue, but this is an Eastern Shore item, and three representatives from Eastern Shore are not here.
I think in light of that, if it pleases the commission, I'd like to defer item five for at least one case and maybe take item six. Would that please the commission?
Yeah, that's fine.
And those that are here from the shore, Mr. and Mrs. John McGannis, are you here by chance? We're, as I said earlier, there are three members from the Eastern Shore that sit on this commission that are tied up in traffic. Apparently you got here quite ahead of that, and if we could defer that, we'd like to do that for their benefit as well as yours. Okay. Item number six, Richard B. Miller or by Miller?